winning, cause a winner don't quit on themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a fun show lined up for you today. Some serious stuff and some fun stuff headed your way. I'm going to be joined this hour by Melissa Johnson. She is an environmental advocate, the executive director for Wisconsin's Green Fire, an organization dedicated to conducting science-based research related to conservation of natural resources and environmental protection. We're going to talk about PFAS a bunch because it is everywhere. And I know a little bit about PFAS. I sued the PFAS manufacturers back in the fall of 2022 in my former role as Milwaukee County Corporation Counsel. So you're not going to want to miss that discussion about PFAS. Here is some of the other Maggie Dawn Show lineup we've got coming up this week and early next. Tomorrow, I'm going to be joined by candidate for Milwaukee County Circuit Court, Rochelle Johnson Bent. You know, the judgeships, Anya, are one of those things that folks sometimes think is a little too in the weeds, a little wonky, if you will.
I would say and, so.
Right. And there's sometimes elections that people don't even know about. You go to vote. And, oh, there's a judgeship on my ballot.
We're going to
help. Right. We're going to help people know a little bit more about Attorney Johnson Bent and overall just how important these trial court judges are. No matter where you are in Wisconsin, there is a county circuit court filled with elected judges that impact your rights and mine on a daily basis. So we're going to have a nice chat with Ms. Johnson Bent tomorrow. And I'm really excited to be joined on Thursday by Joanne Oravec, who is an expert in artificial intelligence. We're going to be talking about smart robots. Joanne, I'm super excited to have her join Anya and I on the show because Joanne's been a regular caller and listener to the Maggie Dawn Show. It's wonderful to bring Joanne's expertise to everyone across the Civic Media Network, not just as a listener, but now as a subject matter expert. So really looking forward to talking to Joanne. Friday this week, I'm going to be joined by attorney Emil Oviagale. attorney Oviagale is a practitioner of all manner of different types of law. He's a really knowledgeable resource. And he's done a lot of work with local licensing committees, which if you're a small business owner in the state of Wisconsin, you might have some great questions for Emil, who's a dear friend of mine. And we're going to have what I like to call straight talk. Emil is a really upfront kind of guy, and I'm excited to hear his impressions about how these local licensing boards and committees work within local government. Again, small business owner anywhere in the state, get your questions ready for attorney Oviagale. That's going to be coming up on Friday. Of course, we're going to be joined by one of my favorite folks from Civic Media, Terry Barr, for What's Local and Overlooked, also on Friday. And then, very importantly, we're going to be joined on Monday by City of Milwaukee Alderman Bob Bauman. I've been talking a lot about the city attorney's race in the city of Milwaukee. I talk a lot about how these sorts of technical elected official offices throughout the state are so important to the functioning of local government. And the city attorney in the city of Milwaukee has been under quite a bit of scrutiny, lots of controversy. Some of it involves Alderman Bauman. So we're going to get it right from the horse's mouth, as you would have it on Monday with Alderman Bauman. You're not going to want to miss any of this. We always keep it lively. Even if the folks I'm talking to happen to be from the Milwaukeeland area, we always try to make it relevant for everybody in the state to help us all understand how these different local elected offices affect each and every one of our lives, not just here in Milwaukee, but across the state, and how we can each be the most educated citizens we can to demand the best, most efficient, and effective outcomes from our governmental leaders. So that's all coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm really excited about that. But perhaps most importantly, I figured since I have a film major as my producer, yes, this is Miss Anya Esther.
Me?
Yes, you are. How could we not talk about the Oscars?
How could we not?
When I have a subject matter expert that sits in the studio with me each and every day. So we're going to be getting to the Oscars. The question that I've got for everybody is the format was a little different this year. started earlier. There's a couple other things that were different. What did you all think of the Oscars if you watched them? And I have had a lot of opinions over the years about big misses by the Academy, films overlooked entirely. Lots of controversy this year over Barbie getting overlooked, director Greta Gerwig not getting a nod. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that. So my question to you, we'll get to this in the second hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you think about the Oscars this year? Did you like some of the new format decisions? Did you like the way that they did a lot of these presentations? And also my second question to everybody out there, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, is what are your biggest misses over the years by the Academy? Whether it's any of the categories, certainly best film is the one that most frequently gets talked about, but I think there've been some really huge misses by the Academy, overlooking some monster performances. Of course, no big shocker here. All of the time, the films that get overlooked, the performances that get overlooked are by people of color. So we're going to talk about that in our second hour today. You're not going to want to miss that. Get your thoughts on the Oscars together. Get your questions. Get the Oscar misses that you think have been the biggest over the years all set to go. You're going to want to join us for that discussion, especially because we got the expert. We got the Southeastern Wisconsin film expert here in the studio with me. I'm effectively going to interview my own producer, which is so much fun. But here's where I wanted to get the ball rolling today. This news came out yesterday. And I've stopped referring to the Republican Party, for all intents and purposes, as the Republican Party. My question to conservatives out there, do you still think it's the Republican Party, or is it simply the MAGA party, the party of Trump? And the news that came out yesterday, you know, wonks, watchers, they expected this to happen, but I don't know if folks expected what occurred over the weekend to happen quite so quickly and at the scale it did. What am I talking about? Basically, Donald Trump installed his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, and Michael Whatley as the RNC's chair and co-chair. And what happened over the weekend was basically an entire purge of the Republican National Committee. There's nobody who was not willing to effectively cede both control, ideological, financial, campaign strategy. If you weren't willing to fuse the RNC's future with Donald Trump's, you were fired over the weekend. They purged a whole bunch of high-level positions. There's a lot of tumult going on there. And so my question, especially to conservative listeners, whether you call yourself a Republican or more of a Reagan conservative, and even if you're a supporter of Mr. Trump, is the Republican Party the Republican Party anymore? I just don't think it is. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to get into that discussion after some important messages. The thing that's always been bothering me about the entire MAGA movement, aside from its bend towards authoritarianism, it's trading on racism and misogyny and the fear-mongering and the lying, is that parties were meant to be political parties, not a party of one person, not a party that requires its members to pledge a lifetime of personal loyalty to an individual. What's going on here? Is that now acceptable? It apparently is. You know, and we've heard stories coming out of Michigan, Arizona, South Carolina, Georgia, that the MAGA machine has basically broken the state Republican committees. Many of them are facing incredibly dire financial straits. And so what does that mean for Republicanism or conservatism in this country? Is it even distinguishable from Donald Trump anymore? And if you're a conservative, where do you go? If you don't want to align with Donald Trump, where is the refuge for the Reagan conservative that doesn't want an $8 trillion increase in the national deficit because you're giving $2 trillion in tax cuts to the wealthiest 1% of Americans and our largest corporations. Where do you go? Is there any distinction at all between especially the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and the MAGA movement? Is there any distinction at the state and local level? I think it's basically being beaten out of every local and state Republican party. And certainly at the national level, what does that mean for Republicanism and conservatism in the United States? Lots of folks have tried to pigeonhole me over the years. Oh, you're real left and progressive. I've never subscribed to that. I like to think of myself as someone who's very pragmatic. I want government to work for the vast majority of us, work for the middle class, and help make life better for everybody. That's what I think government should be doing. We should view government as a fiduciary of a taxpayer dollar. And so, yes, maybe I vote for Democrats nearly universally, but that means I engage in policy debates with other Democrats and progressives. We can have differences of opinion. I don't feel like I'm required to swear fidelity to any individual candidate or set of ideas. Is that even possible within the Republican Party anymore? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. If you're a conservative, I want to hear from you, especially if you're not in lockstep with the MAGA movement. I just, where is the outlet? Even when you talk, let's talk about talk radio for a minute, right? Like, where do you go to hear traditional conservative thought that isn't now completely in lockstep with the MAGA movement? I just don't know that that information exists anywhere. Certainly, I've been joined on my show and will continue to be joined by conservative friends of mine. We'd like to be a place here on Civic Media where traditional conservatives still can have a voice. We can still engage in debate and meaningfully help inform each of our decisions as voters. When we come back, I'm going to tell you more about the purge in the RNC that happened over the weekend. You're not going to want to miss the detail here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation. 855-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a few minutes.
First place, I don't support the team. I can't take direction, and my socks are never clean. Teachers,
what's up, Wisconsin? I hope your socks are clean. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Where do traditional conservatives go? Is there a place for them anymore in the Republican Party? Donald Trump and the MAGA movement installed Lara Trump, the former president's daughter-in-law, and a loyalist, Michael Whatley. Over the weekend, these new leaders, the chair and co-chair of the RNC, basically purged the entirety of RNC leadership. We're talking about their communications director. Yikes. I'm looking for it in this article from the Washington Post. I'll find it in a second. Oh, communications director, their data analytics department head, and their political strategy leader, all gone. Chief operating officer, gone. If you don't buy into everything MAGA is selling, do you have a place anymore in the Republican Party? We're joined by Sylvia from Wausau. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Oh, hi. I was just going to say, I heard that Trump plans on getting rid of all state legislators. So that's what an authoritarian person will do. Get rid of all the state offices, and he's just the total leader.
Yes, thanks, Sylvia. I'm not sure that Trump can do away with the state or local RNC outlets, right? Because that's part of the ground game for the presidential election. But what they're doing, Sylvia, and what I hear you saying, I think, is anyone within the local or county Republican parties and the state Republican parties that wasn't and isn't a MAGA acolyte, they're basically gone. So if you're an independent who tends to maybe vote a little conservative, or you're a traditional Republican or conservative, there's no one in Republican Party leadership anymore that represents those more moderating, and that feels a little weird to me, but like moderating factors within the Republican Party. It's just gone. Andrew from Maine saying on our text line, as an independent voter, I suspect the Republican Party is going the way of the Whig Party. If the Trumpster fire passes away before 2026, it is possible conservatives may again regain control of the party, but even that is questionable. Otherwise, conservatives will need to think about investing in a new party. No kidding. I mean, that's where we're at. So the purge over the weekend, apparently nearly 60 staffers gone. It's not clear that they're done with the purge. And the RNC, the national committee itself, is down to almost a historic low number of people on the payroll. They're down to about 200 people at the end of February. It's now even lower, around 120 people at the RNC headquarters in D.C. on Capitol Hill. Basically, swear your loyalty to Donald Trump or out of the Republican Party you go. One person with direct knowledge of the changes said the party's full finance and digital teams were now planned to be moved to Palm Beach. They're moving the operation. So the money and the messaging people are all going to be in Palm Beach. Well, big surprise. That's where the Trump campaign is based. That's where Mar-a-Lago is. And listen, this is a little bit scary. I mean, some Republicans, including former candidate for president Nikki Haley, have pointed out Mr. Trump is now going to use the RNC as a piggy bank to pay his legal bills. So again, if you were a traditional or are a traditional conservative, if you like to give to conservative causes, where do you go now? Because if you give a dollar to the RNC, that's going to pay Trump's legal bills. I hope they're disclosing that. Jean from Eau Claire, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Hi. Well, I'm just a great show. I'm concerned about the people in Milwaukee when they have their big convention. And I'm really hoping people get paid ahead, because this is kind of a scary thought, because what I've been reading and understanding is that they're running out a lot of money. And I'm worried about the people in Milwaukee and the businesses and stuff. So I hope they get their monies ahead of time so they don't get stiffed, because that happens a lot with the guy who, you know, demands that people in our united front, all of our countries, pay their bills, and he doesn't. And all of the legal bills, I'm really concerned. And I feel really bad for traditional Republicans, but I hope they just don't stay with this guy, because he is scary. And when you look at the MAGA people that are running our country right now, I wouldn't even let them walk my dog.
Yeah, I think, you know, your point's well taken, Gene. I'm going to emphasize that. Listen, if you're a vendor to the RNC or a business providing space, get paid ahead. Make sure those checks cash, because the guy running the whole show using the RNC as his piggy bank for his legal fees. Yeah, he's notorious for not paying the people that he hires. Countless lawsuits, and his strategy, much like Elon Musk, is I won't pay you what the contract says I owe you, and I'll just outweigh you and outspend you in lawsuits. Most small business owners I know can't withstand that sort of an approach, which is basically bad faith. It's fraud in the inception of the contract, if you want to get real technically legal about it. This is a grift. This is a grift. And here's this statement by Charlie Kirk. He's the guy that runs the pro-Trump youth organization, Turning Point USA. He applauded this purging of the RNC on social media. Now, he's not using this language as a negative. What I'm going to tell you, he posted on social media, he's applauding this. He's saying, yes, good job. He described the firings on social media as, quote, a bloodbath at the RNC. This is excellent, Mr. Kirk said. The anti-Trump sleeper cells all have to go. The RNC is getting ready to win. You know, we're going to continue to have political disagreements in this country forever. And if the response to political disagreements is, I need to purge you and from my party, I need to not engage with the subject matter, I'm going to just bloodbath you out. I think that's about as anti-democratic as you can possibly get. And that's what concerns me about this. These are all anti-democratic ideas. These are all things that will hurt our ability as a country to move forward, to get things done. Because what it isn't about is a true exchange of ideas and grappling with difficult concepts. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The simple problems have been solved. What remains are the complicated, sticky, debatable, tough stuff. And anybody that sells you simple solutions to complicated problems is either an idiot or a liar. Sometimes both at the same time. We're going to take a couple of important messages. You're going to get the farm update, so important here in Civic Media. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Melissa Johnson, Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire. We're going to talk about PFAS. Don't worry, I'll be back to this topic a little bit later in the show. You're not going to want to miss what comes next, because this ideological requirement in the Republican Party is playing out every day in interviews on national news stations. We got to watch out for it, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Up next, Melissa Johnson, Executive Director for Wisconsin's Green Fire, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Melissa Johnson's going to be joining us in hour two. Had a little bit of a schedule rearranged. Got to live the beauty of live radio. So I can make the leap between what I was laying out before we took a few messages, which is there's this ideological litmus testing. And it's not even about ideas, more as it is about personal loyalty. And what happens, and I don't care if this was happening on the left, the problem would still end up being ultimately the same. When you're not having a debate about actual policy and getting stuff done, and you're purging and bloodbathing a political party to ensure that everyone pledges personal loyalty, not to a set of principles or values or ideals, but to a person and whatever they happen to be saying. What you end up with in Latin is reductio ad absurdum. You end up in an absurd place where people are forced to make arguments that literally make no sense. This is the problem. It's the making no sense. Right. And to make these personally loyal arguments over and over again, you will twist and distort facts. You will find yourself lying. You will find yourself betraying your fundamental principles, the thing that brought you to conservatism in the first place. And what I think we witnessed in Senator Britt's response from the State of the Union was just that. Do I think Senator Katie Britt was like, hey, I want to engage in this weird sort of bad performance art that's going to creep people out? No, somebody told her to do that. And they told her to do that because she actually just had an audience of one. Donald Trump. There's one person who gave Katie Britt like the best review ever, right? It's Donald Trump. He thought she was great. Why? Because that's what he thinks of women. And to meet his expectation and to demonstrate her personal fealty to him, and to do so in the most inflammatory, the strongest rhetorical terms possible. She used one of the most horrifying set of facts, a story about a woman who endured impossibly terrible sexual assault, but she lied about all, Miss Britt lied about all of the key elements there. My opinion is you do not end up there. Senator Britt isn't contorting herself, isn't lying, isn't performing in this way that is completely not her voice. If there isn't this sort of personal fealty litmus test in the conservative movement, in the Republican Party anymore, she would feel free to speak in her own voice, to put forward, vetted by the RNC, but her own ideas about conservatism and the Republican Party. Instead, she's got egg on her face. Who knows? I mean, it's like the number one draft pick. I don't know if she's ever going to recover from this. Why would you believe anything that Senator Britt ever says again if she was willing to lie about what happened to this woman? These terrible repeated rapes. And it was made doubly worse when Representative Nancy Mace got on the ABC Sunday Morning Show with George Stephanopoulos and used her gender to refuse to engage with a completely reasonable question. And what George Stephanopoulos asked Representative Mace, who I'll get to some of her background in a minute, you're not going to want to miss this, because this woman is sort of PR craven and publicity craven in a way that's never been seen before, which is hard to say when you got Donald Trump as a former president. George Stephanopoulos asked her a really simple question. Donald Trump has been found to have committed rape. You are a survivor. How do you continue to support Donald Trump? Let's listen to a little bit of the sound from George Stephanopoulos's Sunday Morning Show just this past Sunday.
For joining us this morning. And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about
Donald
Trump.
No, you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim. And I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they
It makes it harder when other women
candidates.
Joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
What I find offensive, Representative Mace, is that you use something that should have never happened to you as a political conceit, an artifice, to refuse to talk about very real and important issues. What makes women afraid to come forward and report rapes isn't meaningful public policy discussions about abortion. That's not what makes them afraid to talk about being raped. What makes them afraid to talk about being raped is the president of the United States repeatedly attacking their looks, their character, and calling them liars. What shames women is being called a liar, saying she dressed too sexy, she wanted it. That's what makes rape and the discussion thereof problematic. What is shameful, Representative Mace, is you and your unwillingness to answer a perfectly reasonable question that happened to be posed by a male journalist. How do you support a president who's been found by a jury of his peers to have committed rape? And you can't even acknowledge the legitimacy of the question? Of course it's a legitimate question. And the fact that it wasn't a criminal case has nothing to do with the question. The statute of limitations on that crime had run, and she knows that. This is identity politics at its absurd worst. Katie Britt using her status as a woman to lie about rape to somehow support Donald Trump's ridiculous agenda to attack Joe Biden when the facts of what occurred didn't occur under Joe Biden's presidency. That the argument itself or the facts of what happened to that poor woman actually support having policies like a workable asylum system so that women who are trafficked can find respite in these United States. This is about as gross as it can possibly get. The word that comes to mind for both Senator Britt and Representative Mace is pathetic. Your inability to tell the truth and engage with issues is pathetic. And the only reason that you ended up here, the only reason that we've watched Republican after Republican after Republican either bend a knee at the altar of Donald Trump or find themselves purged out of the party, purged out of the RNC, is you either basically completely flip-flop. And by the way, Representative Mace, following January 6th, decried Donald Trump, said that he was responsible and needed to be held accountable, said that he should never hold office again. Do you have amnesia? The flip-flopping only happens because the Republican Party is no longer a party of ideals and values and principles. You don't find people twisting themselves into these sorts of rhetorical pretzels. You don't see Lindsey Graham denouncing Trump, calling him a xenophobic, bigoted racist, and now supporting him. You don't have Mitch McConnell denouncing Donald Trump and calling for him to be held responsible following January 6th and now bending a knee. And those that haven't bent the knee are getting primaried, or in the case of Robin Voss, a recall petition was just filed by the MAGA far right. Robin Voss isn't conservative enough? I mean, whoa. Through the looking glass we are, folks. Kurt from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Kurt.
The thing that I think is a... Hello? Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, I think the thing that's important, and this is not me saying this, this is coming from historians and other people who are experts in the field. They always say, don't compare this to Nazism, but this is exactly a repeat of history. This is how it begins. They have their fingers inserted in places. She, I'm sure, like others, were threatened in some way or not about, you know, holding their position in office or whatever, and they choose, instead of coming forward and saying, this is how I was approached, I'm not going to go for this, you know, you're going to have to vote me out. Instead, they all do is what we always say, bend the knee. And it's creeping and it's happening right before our eyes. History is repeating itself.
I couldn't agree with you more. Just want to share with you, not only did Representative Mace, in the most pathetic way possible, refuse to answer the most fundamental question, what do we do about rapists who then verbally attack from the biggest platform in the world, the women that they raped? She then went after Donald Trump's victim. Like, disgusting? Yeah, that's, she used the word disgusting in that interview with George Stephanopoulos, like 25 times or something. Here's what E. Jean Carroll said in response to Representative Mace's attacking Donald Trump's rape victim. Quote, thank you, George Stephanopoulos, for valiantly defending me. I wish Representative Nancy Mace well, and I salute all survivors for their strength, endurance, and holding on to their sanity. That's not pathetic. That's not disgusting. That's honorable. That's not avoiding reality. Where is your honor, Representative Grace? Excuse me, Mace. I should ask her, where is your grace as well? If you're on the line, stay on the lines. We're going to take a couple more important messages and we're going to come back to this discussion because these two women back to back are an exemplar of exactly where this sort of personal loyalty leads a party into nonsense, into absurdity, into a loss of any sort of core set of principles to guide us through these dark times. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Join us for this conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more in a moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be talking about PFAS. It's in our blood. It's in our water. It's basically every frickin' where when we come back after the top of the hour with my friend and now soon to be your friend, Melissa Johnson, the executive director for Wisconsin's Green Fire, an environmental organization that actually, you know, cares about science. Imagine that. Let's do environmental policy based on science. Who would have thought of such a thing? Of course, that's not possible if your policy platform, if you have one, has to be dictated by personal loyalties. The performances, and that's all I can call them, by Senator Britt and then Representative Mace over the last 5 days have shown what happens when it's not about principle. When it's not about values, when it's not about a shared vision for the future, even a vision that I may disagree with or about policies that I may disagree with. I have tons of conservative friends. We can have meaningful debates because usually we agree on the place that we want to end up. We just disagree about how to get there. I don't know how to have sometimes meaningful debates because I don't know where it is that the MAGA party wants to go. Donald Trump ran in 2020 without a platform. There wasn't a published platform. Why? Because the platform is Joe Biden sucks. He's a bad guy. Burisma. That's not a platform. That's not a set of policy objectives. Now, it's secure the border. Well, there's a bill you could pass to help secure the border tomorrow. Pass the bill. But you won't do that because you want to take a victory lap on the border. Nobody's winning here. It just hurts Americans. And the sort of supplication of Representative Mace and Senator Britt is exhibit one to me. They can't even talk about the issues in a fact-based way. They can't even answer the most basic questions. want to shout out John texting from on the road. I hope you're doing a voice to text, John. Everybody drive and text safely. John says all the non-MAGA Republican politicians have been exiled from the party. Is Romney the last one? And he's retiring. Non-MAGA conservative radio shows are all gone. A few found a home in a podcast form or as guests on MSNBC, but that's it. Yeah, that's my whole point. Like, Robin Voss has recall papers filed against him by the MAGA movement. He's the most effective conservative legislator in the last 20 years in Wisconsin, and that's not enough because he won't bend the knee. Liz Cheney gone, Mitt Romney gone. They dance on John McCain's grave every chance they get. I mean, come on. CJ, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Do you think Representative Mace should have answered George Stephanopoulos's question? How do you denounce rape and those that shame rape survivors and support Donald Trump at the same time?
She answered the question, but Stephanopoulos questioned her motives and who she...
He didn't question her motives, CJ. He asked her, how do you square those two things? If you're going to defend survivors of rape and say we need to have informed and nuanced discussions about sexual assault, how do you endorse for president a man who's been found by a jury of his peers to have committed rape and then publicly shamed and defamed the survivor of that rape? That was his question. He just repeated it for 5 minutes.
Well, yes, he did. And she answered it. But, you know,
no,
you
she
could
didn't answer it. How did she answer the question, CJ? How did she answer the question? She just
you're
said
do the same thing. But why don't you ask that question to Lake and Riley's parents and the policies?
You mean
that
the parents that refused to show up at the State of the Union because they don't want to politicize their daughter's violent death? Yes. An immigrant killed Lake and Riley, and citizens kill lots and lots of people. The data shows that cities with greater number of migrants and immigrants are safer than those without. I'm talking about Representative Mace's inability to deal with the innate hypocrisy with her endorsing a rapist for president. Don't you think that that's problematic, CJ?
I can debunk everything, but you won't keep me long enough. You know,
I'm trying to keep you on topic, CJ. My topic is it hypocritical for someone to denounce those that shame survivors of sexual violence to endorse a rapist? Is that not problematic? Is that not a fair question to ask her?
She answered it. You'll put up these guardrails. You won't let me answer.
CJ, I want to let you answer, but you have a preternatural problem with staying on topic. And one of the reasons that I ask you the questions in the way that I do, CJ, is because there's one logical response. And the response is she should have answered the damn question and simply said, I don't believe he committed rape. Her belief about whether or not he committed rape isn't the premise of the question. The premise of the question that she was asked for 5 minutes, which she did refuse to answer, is a jury found that the man committed rape. How do you, as a survivor of sexual assault, turn around and endorse that man for president? And then she doubles down by accusing Stephanopoulos of shaming her when that's what the man was again found by a jury to have done to the tune of $90+ million. I can't make it up, CJ. Do you get why I'm asking the questions this way? It's not an open forum. It's my show, not yours. Do you get it?
Quite obvious. Quite obvious, Maggie. And I do.
Well, good. I'm glad he understands now. Perfect. Keith from Middleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Maggie. How dare you attempt to use logic with Mr. CJ? I'm sorry, I said I would do your show if you're going to try to use logic with a man who has none. Golly, please stop. I understand your thinking, and I applaud you for trying. But oh my God, I am so sick and tired of trying.
Me too, Keith. I think I'm gonna give CJ a little cooling off pattern on the bench. CJ, you're benched for a while. Don't bother calling in. I would love to be able to actually talk about the thing that I'm talking about with CJ. And no, she didn't answer the question. She just basically hurled insults at George Stephanopoulos. That's not answering the question. And that's what's troubling to me. Again, and with respect to CJ and every, and frankly, Senators Britt and Representative Mace, the reason you find yourself in these verbal pickles, the pretzel that you can't untwist yourself from, is because your foundational principle, blind fealty to Donald Trump and everything that he says and does, and I must defend all of it all the time, leads you to reductio ad absurdum. The issue gets reduced down to an absurdity. Supporting Donald Trump at its root is absurd. We can be conservatives, we can be Republicans, we can be Democrats, and we can